Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
It's another Golden Gridiron Day as the history continues with the first game played in Superdome. The champion New York Giants played the college All-Stars in the Windy City and remembering the legends like Doug Williams and John Cappelletti on their birthdays, and it's all coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. How are we doing today? This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history, and to the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear. We are sure glad that you joined us once again. We thank you for joining us. We hope you are enjoying getting these little bits of nuggets on a daily basis of football history. As we get closer to the season, this information just grows and grows because there's a lot more events and things happening on these dates. And today we are talking about the August 9th Football History Day, and great Gridiron Day it is. And we're going to start off with our football history headlines. Back on August 9th, 1957, at Soldier Field, in front of 75,000 fans, the champion New York Giants defeated the New York All-Star squad by the odds score of 22-12 in the 24th annual Chicago Charities All-Star Game. The MVP award, always given to the college player that happened to be John Brody that year from Stanford University. Now, August 9th, 1975, we had the very first game that was played in the Louisiana Superdome as the Houston Oilers, they toppled the New Orleans Saints 13-7 in an NFL preseason game, and the Superdome is still going strong. It has survived hurricanes and bad seasons by the Saints, let's face it, but also some Super Bowl winning seasons by those same Saints. And Superdome is quite an iconic ideal piece of the skyline of New Orleans and a piece of New Orleans that those folks just love. It helped save them during the hurricanes. It was a place of refuge and shelter when their houses were destroyed in the aftermath of some of those vicious hurricanes that hit that area. And just means a lot to that region, just like their New Orleans Saints do. August 9th, 1987, in an exciting NFL exhibition game, the Los Angeles Rams, they defeated the Dallas Cowboys 28-27 at London's Wembley Stadium. I believe that was the third time a game had been played overseas, an NFL game with NFL teams played in London's Wembley Stadium overseas in Europe there. So getting a taste of the National Football League by the Europeans is a great thing to complement their already brilliant sports that they have going on. They're very passionate fans in all sports and genres, and some of these American sports are really starting to take hold over there. And you can hear that on some of our podcasts on the Sports History Network. Check those out. We have some really good ones coming over, like Jamie Furness, who lives over in Great Britain, with his What Was the Score podcast. He's covering some really excellent different games that are happening over there in Europe. And as well as Oz Davis on his Truly the Goats. He had hurling on there and a few other things that are sort of foreign to us here in the United States, literally hurling. If you want to learn about some of the games like that, listen to both Jamie Furness and Oz Davis on their respective podcasts. Truly the Goats for Oz Davis, and What Was the Score with Jamie Furness. And I think we're going to be bringing you some other great new podcasts on Sports History Network to give you a little bit of taste of those games and sports of other nations around the world, all corners of the world, and just some great history on those as well. So now let's take a little bit of a break and hear from some wise words from our sponsor, Row One Brand. At the Sports History Network, we're all about sports yesteryear, and so we're so pleased to introduce you to Row One, an online memorabilia gallery and shop that brings your sports history to life anywhere. The Row One gallery includes over 5,200 gorgeously reproduced prints of team posters, game program covers, game tickets, advertisements, and more in baseball, pro and college football, pro and college basketball, and more. And any gallery item may be printed in a variety of sizes on wood, metal, canvas, acrylic, or poster paper. And in Row One shop, check out the thousands more of unique items with a retro and historical designs dating back to 1876, including t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, phone cases, mugs, blankets, pillows, towels, and even shower curtains. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com, ROW number one, for access to the full Row One catalog and for gallery prints and gift items. Plus get a 15% discount off all prints on the Row One Pictorum Gallery with coupon code SHN15. Follow the link on the show notes. Yeah, speaking of that Pictorum Gallery, check out our photo of the Row One brand ad of that great ticket stub of the Saints and the Eagles from a bygone year. Just an excellent piece of all wall art that you can hang on your wall, and you get that 15% discount. You can't let that one pass by. Now let's go to our birthdays of Hall of Famers for August 9th. In August 9th, 1899, Ed McGinley, the tackle from the University of Pennsylvania, who was enshrined in a College Football Hall of Fame in the ceremony of 1979. He was born that day, and legendary coach Amos Alonzo Stagg once said, "Ed McGinley is the most effective lineman I've seen in a long while." According to an NFF bio on Ed, he had an uncanny speed and unmatched by any other tackle of comparable size in the college game of that era. McGinley was particularly effective at downing punts within the opponent's 20-yard line. The 1924 Penn-Cornell Thanksgiving Day Classic went down in a history as a punting duel, and McGinley was largely responsible for that duel. McGinley set the Big Red back twice in the opening minutes by downing punts within the Cornell 20-yard line. In the final quarter, McGinley downed a Penn punt on the Cornell 10-yard line and another Quaker boot on the Reds' 11-yard line. He played almost the entire game as Penn romped to a 20-0 victory, and he went on to play professionally for the NFL's New York Giants franchise. August 9th, 1952, John Cappelletti, a running back from Penn State University who entered into the College Football Hall of Fame class of 1993, was born on that day. And he won the Heisman Trophy in 1973 and then went on to play in the NFL for the Los Angeles Rams and the San Diego Chargers. Cappelletti's football career and his relationship with his ill younger brother was famously portrayed on the touching movie Something for Joey back in the 1970s. August 9th, 1955, Zachary, Wisconsin. Doug Williams, the quarterback from Grambling State, who was enshrined in the College Football Hall of Fame, was born. Mr. Williams went on to play in the NFL for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Washington Redskins. He helped guide his Washington team to victory in Super Bowl 22 with 340 yards passing and 4 touchdowns against the Denver Broncos. The performance earned him the Most Valuable Player award for the game. And this Super Bowl win made Williams the first African-American quarterback to win that big game. Williams was selected as the 17th overall pick by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the 1978 NFL Draft, and he played with the Bucs until 1982. And then the USFL came a-calling, and he went to the Oklahoma/Arizona Outlaws in 1984 and 1985, and then most famously returned to the NFL with the Washington Redskins from 1986 through 1989, per a Yahoo.com article. And during his career, Doug threw for 1,240 completions for 16,998 yards and 100 touchdowns. Now that is a great career and a great player in Doug Williams. August 9th, 1967, Deion Sanders, the defensive back from Florida State that is enshrined in both the College Football Hall of Fame and the Pro Football Hall of Fame. In the NFL, he was drafted by the Atlanta Falcons and later played for the Cowboys, 49ers, and Washington. And Sanders' flair and athleticism put him in the spotlight right out of the gate in his career and earned him the nickname Primetime. He was not only a great coverage and ball hawking corner, but his kick return skills made for some exciting plays every single time he touched the ball. He was so electric with his hands on the ball that the Cowboys often played him on the offensive side of the ball as well. And Sanders combined for 513 tackles, 493 of them solo, one sack, 53 interceptions, 10 passes defended, and 10 forced fumbles, 13 fumbles recovered, 9 defensive touchdowns, as well as 60 receptions for 784 yards and 3 more scores, 212 punt returns for 2,199 yards and 6 TDs, 155 kick returns, 3,523 yards and 3 scores of doing that. And after football, he went to work for the NFL Network as a commentator on one of their many shows. He also has gone on to coach his college team in doing pretty well at that too. He had his first year during that COVID season that was pushed into the spring season. I believe he's with Jackson State. And he also played, and I failed to mention earlier, he did have a stint with the Baltimore Ravens for a time, playing on their ball club. So, you know, great athlete Deion Sanders, and don't forget all of his baseball careers that he had. We've talked about that many times on the Football History Headline, some of his exploits on the diamond. Now, we have some birthdays of some of those that are not yet in the Hall of Fame. August 9th, 1946, Lincoln Park, New Jersey, Wyoming running back Jim Kick arrived into life. Kick was the 118th overall pick by the Miami Dolphins in the 1968 AFL draft. And he joined the Dolphins in 1968 and stayed with them through the 1974 season when the World Football League's Memphis Southmen signed him in 1975. And after the WFL's demise, Kick joined the NFL again with the Denver Broncos for the seasons of 1976 and 77, and then with the Redskins in 1978, according to Yahoo.com. Jim's career numbers included 1,029 carries for 3,759 yards and 29 touchdowns, 233 catches in the of passes for 2,302 yards and 4 touchdowns. And Kick was a 2-time AFL All-Star and won Super Bowls 7 and 8 with the Dolphins. He was an integral part of Don Shula's ball control offense in the early 1970s, along with Hall of Fame runner back Larry Zonka. Another not yet in the Hall of Fame birthday, August 9th, 1977, Brooklyn, New York. Defensive end Adolwe Ngakoue from the University of Indiana was born. Ngakoue signed with the Miami Dolphins as an undrafted agent in 2000 and later played with the Bears and the Texans. Also on August 9th, 1985, Mobile, Alabama, quarterback Jamarcus Russell from LSU arrived into this life. Russell was the number one overall pick by the Oakland Raiders in the 2007 NFL Draft. Wow, that is just some great history, some great players born on this day and that had events on this day. And we are sure glad that you joined us once again to share this great football history, and we hope you enjoyed yourself. You can find us on sportshistorynetwork.com along with all those other great podcasts that are on there just waiting for you to be listened to. Also, go to pigskindispatch.com, your portal to positive football history. Use our search box on that front page. Search for just about anything you want in American football history, and it should come up for you. You can also find us on Facebook. We have a Pigskin Dispatch page. We Twitter. We are at Pigskin Dispatch, and you can often find us on LinkedIn and Reddit under the Sports History R subreddit. So many ways to find us, many ways to communicate. If you want to send us an email, get on our email list. It is pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Just send us a line there, and we will send you an email each and every day telling you what is new and great and fresh on pigskindispatch.com. And we'll be sure to do that each and every morning right before 7 a.m. And till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day. We're taking a peek over at the chains and the down marker. It's fourth and long. We're going to have to punt the ball and get on out of here, but we'll have another series tomorrow for your football history headlines, so be sure to tune in. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. PigskinDispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.
Hey there, football fans, this is Ross. the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.